Introduction. To be an effective emergency medical responder, EMR, you need to prepare for an emergency medical services, EMS, call, review dispatch information, respond safely to the scene, perform a scene size up, perform initial patient assessment, and provide emergency care. Update responding EMS units and transfer care to other EMS personnel, and complete post-run activities. This chapter describes the phases of an EMS call and the tasks required to complete each of these phases safely. The second part of this chapter describes your role in helicopter medevac operations. It describes helicopter safety guidelines, how to set up a landing zone, and how to assist with loading patients into a helicopter. Preparing for a call. In your primary role as a law enforcement officer, firefighter, lifeguard, or security guard, you are also on call as an EMR. In preparing yourself for a call, you must understand your role as a member of the emergency medical system. You may respond using a fire department vehicle, a law enforcement vehicle, your personal vehicle, or on foot. It is important to ensure these vehicles are ready to respond at all times. Follow a regular schedule to inspect and maintain all vehicles. Your department should provide a checklist to follow to ensure that everything is in working order, such as checking tire pressure, fluid levels, and fuel levels. Be prepared to respond promptly, using the most direct route available. Make sure you have the proper equipment to perform your job, including the medical equipment in your EMR life support kit, your personal safety equipment, and equipment to safeguard the incident scene. This equipment must be stocked and maintained on a regular basis according to the schedule specified by your agency. Phases of an EMR call. When you respond to an EMS call, make sure each task is carefully completed to ensure a safe and positive outcome to the incident. Dispatch. The dispatch facility is a center that citizens can call to request emergency medical care. Most centers are part of a 911 system that is responsible for receiving emergency calls at a public safety answering point, PSAP, and then dispatching fire, police, and EMS. You should understand how the dispatch facility used by your department operates. Your job will be easier if the dispatcher obtains the proper information from the caller. Dispatchers should also be able to instruct callers on how to perform life-saving techniques, such as cardiopulmonary resuscitation, until you arrive. You may receive your dispatch information by telephone, radio, pager, computer terminal, or written printout. Regardless of the transmission method, the information should include the nature of the call, the name and location of the patient, the number of patients, and any special conditions at the scene. The dispatcher should also obtain a callback number in case you need more information from the caller. Without adequate dispatch information, you will not be able to respond properly. Response to the scene. Your first priority in responding to the scene is to get there quickly and safely. Consider traffic patterns and the time of day before you select the best route to the scene. Before you begin to respond, be sure you know how to get to the location of the call. Be certain that all personnel are properly seated and secured with approved seatbelts. Keep all equipment secured so it does not injure someone in the event of a sudden stop or crash. Use emergency lights and sirens according to your state laws and according to the regulations of your agency. Remember that emergency lights and sirens allow you to request the right of way. They do not guarantee it. Be especially careful at intersections and railroad crossings. Do not exceed a safe speed for the vehicle you are operating. Be aware that distractions, such as radios, mobile devices, and global positioning systems, GPS, can contribute to vehicle crashes. Reduce your speed on unpaved roads, on wet or icy roads, and during periods of darkness or reduced visibility. Follow all safety procedures specified by your department. Above all else, drive defensively so you are not involved in a crash. Remember, your goal is to arrive on the scene safely. Arrival at the scene. When you arrive at the scene, remember to place your vehicle in a safe location to minimize the chance of injury. Consider how best to position your vehicle to effectively use your warning lights. Remember to perform a scene size-up as outlined in the Patient Assessment Sequence, Chapter 9, Patient Assessment. Look for safety hazards, such as downed power lines, leaking fuel, broken glass, and fire, as described in Chapter 20, Vehicle Extrication and Special Rescue, as well as potential biologic hazards. Control the flow of traffic to ensure the safety of responders, patients, and bystanders. Determine the number of patients and determine whether you need to call for additional resources. Be as efficient and as organized as you can. Provide patient care using the knowledge and skills you have learned in this course. Call for additional resources if needed. Perform patient assessment and provide emergency care. Many of the activities you perform at the scene of an emergency are related to the assessment and treatment of patients. The knowledge and skills needed to perform patient assessment and provide treatment are detailed throughout this book. These skills are mentioned here only to give you an idea of where they fit within the phases of responding to an emergency call. Transferring the care of the patient to other EMS personnel. As more highly trained EMS personnel arrive on the scene, you will have to transfer care of the patient to them. Update the responding EMS units by providing them a brief report of the situation as you initially observed it, and tell them the results of your patient assessment and what care you have provided. Ask them if they have any questions for you. Finally, offer to assist other EMS personnel in caring for the patient. Post-run activities. You may think you are done with the call after you have cared for the patient and provided assistance to other EMS personnel. However, your job is not done until you have completed the paper or electronic patient care report. Documentation is important, as emphasized in Chapter 1, EMS Systems, and Chapter 5, Communications and Documentation. In addition to completing the report, you must also clean your equipment and replace needed supplies. Only after you have completed these activities should you resume regular duties or notify your dispatcher or supervisor that you are ready for another call. Helicopter operations. Helicopters are used by EMS systems to reach patients, transport patients to medical facilities, and evacuate patients from otherwise inaccessible areas. The use of helicopters to transport patients has several advantages. Helicopters can respond at speeds greater than 100 miles per hour. They can travel above traffic congestion and into wilderness areas. They usually carry specialized equipment, and the personnel staffing them may include emergency medical technicians, EMTs, paramedics, registered nurses, and physicians. These personnel may be able to perform advanced life support, ALS, skills that are unavailable on ground ambulances. Helicopters are requested for patients with severe injuries or acute illnesses who may benefit from a higher level of care or more rapid transport to an appropriate medical facility. However, helicopters are limited by bad weather, such as thunderstorms, blizzards, and other conditions that reduce visibility. In addition, the amount of weight helicopters can carry may be decreased in very hot temperatures and at high elevations. Adequate safe landing zones are necessary in order for helicopters to gain access to patients. If your EMS system uses a helicopter, obtain a copy of the ground operations procedures or schedule an orientation session with helicopter personnel so you will be prepared during an emergency. As an EMR, you may be responsible for making the initial call for helicopter assistance or for setting up and preparing a landing site in the field. You need to know how to request a helicopter response, as well as the criteria for calling a helicopter for trauma patients, medical patients, and wilderness response. Helicopter safety guidelines. Helicopters can provide life-saving transport for patients with serious injuries to an appropriate medical facility. However, helicopters are also dangerous to untrained personnel. The main rotor of the helicopter spins at more than 300 revolutions per minute, RPM, and may be just 4 feet, 1 meter, above the ground. The tail rotor spins at more than 3,000 RPM and may be invisible to an unwary person. Additionally, the rotors can generate a wash or blast of air equivalent to winds of 60 to 80 miles per hour. If you approach without caution, you may be severely injured by walking upright or by raising an arm above the head. It is important to understand safe helicopter operations. Setting up landing zones. When choosing a landing site, remember that pilots usually land and take off into the wind. The size of a landing zone will vary and depends on the size of the helicopter. Most civilian helicopters need a landing zone of at least 100 feet by 100 feet, 30 meters by 30 meters, or 10,000 square feet, 929 square meters. Military aircraft may need a larger area. The landing zone should be as flat as possible and free of debris that could become airborne in the 60 mile per hour winds generated by the helicopter. Check carefully for any nearby electrical wires, which may be invisible to the pilot. If the site slopes or has any obstacles, notify the pilot. Check with your helicopter service to see how you should secure and mark the perimeter of the site. Avoid using flags or other objects that can be blown away by the force of the helicopter rotor wash. Do not use fusees, red signal flares, because they create a fire hazard. Turn off unnecessary white lights and avoid flashing emergency lights because they interfere with the pilot's vision during landing and takeoff. Keep vehicles clear of the landing zone. Close the windows and doors of any nearby vehicles and remove any loose objects on the vehicles that could become airborne. Some helicopter services request that a charged hose line be available for fire emergencies. Loading patients into the helicopters. Certain safety precautions must be followed during the loading of a helicopter patient. Secure all loose clothing, sheets, and instruments such as stethoscopes. Use eye protection and a helmet if available to prevent debris from getting into your eyes. Approach a helicopter from the front and only after the pilot or a crew member signals that it is safe. The helicopter crew may need help carrying equipment to the patient. Follow their instructions. Give your patient care report to the crew away from the helicopter's noise and offer your assistance. It is more difficult to load a helicopter stretcher than an ambulance stretcher. Because loose sheets or blankets can blow off the stretcher, patients need to be packaged, prepared, properly, and securely. As an EMR, you can provide ground support and assistance during helicopter operations, provided that you take proper safety precautions.